And now the latest on Mahmoud Khalil. He's the recent Columbia University graduate who was detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement for his role in last year's campus protests against the war in Gaza. He's a legal permanent resident of the United States, a green card holder, married to a U.S. citizen. And while he's not been accused of any crime, the Trump administration wants to deport him. They accuse him of supporting Hamas, which the U.S. deems a terrorist group. A New York judge held a hearing in this case yesterday, and one of Khalil's attorneys, Amy Greer, is with us now. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you for having me.
Your client's being held in Louisiana. You're in New York, and the judge pressed pause on the administration's efforts to deport him. At yesterday's hearing, your team said you've not yet been able to speak privately with your client. The judge said that needs to happen right away. So let me begin by asking, have you been able to speak with him privately since yesterday's hearing?
Yes, we have.
And can you share anything that he told you about his experience?
You know, he's doing okay, but he's, you know, trying to keep his spirits up and working to help others who are in the detention facility, like, understand their papers and, you know, trying to keep busy. And but he's doing as best as he can in this moment.
Yesterday, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, argued that even people with a green card do not have an absolute right to remain in the United States. Here is how Rubio characterized the protests that your client helped lead at Columbia last year.
You're afraid to go to class because these lunatics are running around with covers on their face, screaming terrifying things. If you told us that's what you intended to do when you came to America, we would have never let you in. And if you do it once you get in, we're going to revoke it and kick you out.
Ms. Greer, how do you respond to that?
I've heard that, and, you know, I've obviously listened to that a number of times now, and it just doesn't make any sense to me, to be honest with you. I mean, I understand that, you know, he has the bully pulpit here, but it doesn't make any sense. We have in the United States the freedom of speech, and that belongs to all people, all residents here in the United States, including lawful permanent residents. And I'm not attributing any of that speech necessarily to Mahmoud, but, you know, just generally speaking, those statements mean, so anytime somebody in this country says something that this administration doesn't like, it renders them deportable. That is not how this country should operate.
You're characterizing it as something the administration doesn't like. The administration is relying on an obscure provision of an immigration law that says the Secretary of State can revoke a green card and declare them deportable if they have reasonable ground to believe that the person's presence or activities in the U.S. would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences. That's broad language. How do you counter it?
Well, I mean, part of this process is that process is going to be heard in removal proceedings. This is what people need to understand is this is from the Immigration and Nationality Act. This is not like a criminal statute. Mahmoud has not been charged with any crime. This is therefore he is not necessarily going to be heard on this particular issue in front of an Article III court, like our constitutional court. These things are this act is played out in part in immigration court. And so the habeas petition that's been filed is an effort to challenge various aspects of this particular provision of the INA and its application to Mahmoud, but also, you know, in an immigration context, the Department of State has certain obligations under that statute to provide certain information. And, you know, the efforts will be to, you know, to challenge both the statute of itself, you know, the use of the statute in this particular case and the vagaries of the statute.
So even though this law does not require them to charge him with a crime, they do have a burden of proof. Let me ask about the government's basic claim here, which is that your client supported Hamas, which the U.S. deems a terrorist organization. Do you know how they are defining support?
Look, all of these laws are, you know, use terms that are you know, can be interpreted expansively in courts and can be interpreted narrowly by courts. And, you know, this is going to be part of any legal arguments that are made, is how those definition, how those words should be defined.
Basic what you've heard from the government, you don't know whether they are arguing that by holding a sign or erecting a tent or, I don't know, sending money or anything else specific, we've tried to get an answer from the government. We haven't been able to. I wonder if you've been able to.
No, you've seen the same things we have, basically, right? You know, the publicly filed papers are what we have also seen. There's been no evidence produced in this case yet. There's been no litigation where there's like discovery handed over between the parties. What part of the INA that they're using to try to remove him, and what the president and the secretary of state have said from their bully pulpit, and what's in the motion to dismiss that's been publicly filed.
As you know, many of your client supporters have claimed that if the administration can do this to a green card holder, they can do it to anyone, including a U.S. citizen. Do you believe that's true?
Yes. I mean, I do think, you know, I'm not sure that they could necessarily do it to somebody who was born in the United States. There's some more complications there. But certainly this administration's grumblings around challenging naturalized citizenship should certainly give us all pause as to how this administration wants to interpret certain areas of our law and how it wants that to, you know, who that those areas of the law apply to and who they don't. And I think that, you know, obviously, that would require a significant rollback of the rule of law and, you know, the standards that we have traditionally followed, the precedents that our courts have traditionally followed. But, you know, in this day and age, I think that it would be silly of us to not take these threats very seriously.
Amy Greer is one of the lawyers representing Columbia University graduate Mahmoud Khalil. Thank you so much for speaking with us about your client's case.
Thank you.